this because I haven't said when you talk to a lot of Germans about their recollection of World War II, what they remember is the last part when they were getting beat so badly and had such suffering and don't remember the early part when they were doing the same thing to Coventry and
Warsaw. Right, Warsaw. We visited Warsaw last year, and they just devastated Warsaw.
Can I help you scoot up a little bit?
Yeah.
Make it a little easier here.
Yeah, that's good. Thank you.
If I got you too close, I can move you back.
We were visiting Warsaw on the day that they remember the Warsaw Uprising. And we learned a lot.
It was just happenstance that we happened to be there. It was August the 8th.
And they, we were walking down the street and all of a sudden these sirens go off. And everybody stops. The cars stop, bicyclists stop, everybody stopped. And in remembrance of the Warsaw Uprising where so many people were killed.
A moment of silence.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And we had noticed them walking around, flowers put in various places. And we didn't understand it at the time, but there were a few people dressed up in kind of military-looking outfits, but there obviously were civilians. It turns out that was the kind of garb that the civilians in Warsaw wore when during the Warsaw Uprising. But the Germans got so mad, they went through, they'd already devastated the city with bombing, but they went through and planted dynamite and blew up all their statues and blew up all their buildings. They blew up a couple of churches and buried 1,000 people alive. I mean, it's just horrendous. And they don't remember that part.
Some of the churches were
underground hospitals.
Hospitals from underground.
Well, I've heard these incomplete memories of the Germans and also of their being so critical of their of what Germans at that time did during the war, but not completely understanding people saying, for instance, that well, they should never have had the death camps. We should never have killed all those people. Of course, the Jews did start the war, but still, we shouldn't have punished them that much.
Well, we've been there a number of times, and only once have I had anybody. I was on a Straßenbahn, a bus type of thing. I was sitting next to an older fella, and he picked up that I was American.
Is everybody still doing good?
Yep.
Too much of a kick, or is it pretty good?
Oh, it's perfect.
And he started complaining about what we did to them in the bombing and pointing out his head where he apparently had a wound and whatever. And I just told him that, you know, you started it.
Santa Fe, several years back, maybe 10 years ago or something like that, when Marilyn and I were out there and had I forgot what happened, but some neighbors in for drinks or something, and there was much younger woman lived across the street who was married to, well, I don't know who she was, I don't know her husband, don't recall all that, but found out she was from, had come from Germany, and got to talking about it, and she was questioning, well, now, did you? She was not given any excuses for the war or anything like that, but did you really have to bomb so much? Why did the Americans decide just to destroy everything? And I could see when she was saying that, my wife started straightened up and bristling.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not gonna sit here while you call my husband a war criminal.
Right.
But at any rate, I was laughing to myself. And there was great starvation and problems in Germany. We had to, the army, Americans had to quit taking war prisoners because they couldn't feed them.
You know, they really just did not have that much land to think that they should be in charge of the world. It's just amazing. The Dresden area 2 years ago and got together with the Czech researcher Miloš Podzimic and his son at the end of our trip over in the edge of the Czech Republic, and tried to go around and see the different places of importance to the crew and to our family.
Well, Barbara managed to narrow down, I think we now know, which cemetery.
Well, thanks to Miloš.
Right.
Michael, his researcher. We visited a place where there was a pond near a railway crossing and near a town, which as best as Miloš could figure out was probably about where you had landed. In what is now the Czech Republic, and of course at that point was part of Germany.
Did you say you located Al's grave?
The graveyard.
We know which cemetery. But the cemetery book disappeared at the end of the war when the Germans cleared out and the Czech people settled that area.
They don't maintain the German side of that cemetery, which we think is where he is.
I forget the proper name of it, our branch of the service, Department of Personnel, Missing whatever, the searchers from our government have been there. Are still open to receiving more information about it if anyone can turn up records. But they apparently checked that old German portion of the cemetery. And when they were there, they got the weeds cleared to where they could see the grave markers. We could not even get in that portion. And the weeds were taller than I was, so even if we'd gotten in, we couldn't have been able to tell much. But apparently there's no marker existing that would indicate exactly where. In that part of Eastern Europe, they have a different way of doing cemeteries. That is, as long as you have family in the area, and they keep it clean
and pay for
maintained.
It.
You know, the marker stays there, but when your family is gone and there's no one to maintain that gravesite, it reverts back to whoever needs one and can pay for putting up a marker, and they take down the old marker and put in a new marker.
There you go.
I am. I started to add a paragraph to that letter. I thought it was something of interest, but it really is.
I don't, but I can get you.
No bearing on how good a radio operator I was.
But you came home without the business being like, what?
But when we got ready to, well, of course, the radio operators were the only enlisted men who were at the briefings. But when we had the, got ready to go to Dresden, I was there along with navigators and pilots. And we heard, indelibly remember the fellow who was doing the briefing saying that we were bombing Dresden, and they expressed a request to the Russian High Command. Now, I've got no idea that was true, but so much said later that it was Winston Churchill who demanded it, and the British, can't think of what his rank yet, Bomber Harris, the guy who, who was in charge of RAF's offense. That he wanted it because it was his theory that the war would be over if you just bombed enough civilians that they would eventually give up, which of course has turned out to be completely wrong. And in fact, Speer in his book and others have wondered why we weren't bombing their aviation gasoline refineries and
right.
Places like that instead of trying to run people out of their neighborhoods. But at any rate, we bombed Dresden on the express request of the Soviet High Command, was what I
was told.
And,
right.
So I started to write a little paragraph in that letter that was questioned now. What did the Soviets, how did they show their appreciation for what we did? The next year, or after, I don't know whether it was the next year or not, but pretty soon at any rate, the East Germans in that area in Dresden had proclaimed Hate America Day on the 14th of February. Well, it was that way for a number of years.
Tell him about the folks we stayed with.
Well, yeah, we've been there twice, and we stayed with a German couple's last time, who I met in Park City when they were there visiting and skiing, and they're very nice. They had moved there almost immediately after the wall fell, and they had previously been in West Germany. And they moved there, and it was still pretty devastated at that point. But the rebuilding had begun, and it's really beautifully rebuilt. The Frauenkirche, the famous church, rebuilt. It looks like a checkerboard because they used as many of the old stones as they could. And they still had the plans. They'd saved the plans, so they knew exactly how it was built. And they even received money from the church in London, or where was it? It got bombed, the cathedral?
Coventry.
And they even sent, Coventry even raised some money and sent to them to rebuild the church. But, no, I'm fine. So it was very interesting. They've been there for 20-something years. She speaks pretty good English. Ralph, her husband, doesn't. And I speak passable German, but not really great. But we're planning on going to Oktoberfest with them next year.
This fall?
Not this fall, the fall after that. This fall we'll have our 306th reunion about that time. The reunion's going to be September 11th. Start.
My sister and brother, one of my four sisters and brother-in-law who lived in Colorado Springs for many years. They are both deceased now, but he was near, well, I can't remember exactly what happened, but at any rate, he was an Air Force officer and ended up at one of those military installations around there.
Well, of course, they named the training wing the 306th training wing after the 306th bomb group.
Oh, really?
Yes. So you had the 306th original one, and then you had a 306th bomb wing, which my brother-in-law was in the Vietnam War. They flew B-52s. And then it became the 306th training wing there at the Air Force Academy in honor of the 306th bomb group. So we'll have some of the vets there, and we'll have some of the cadets come and eat with us at the banquet. And so really, you guys are the Air Force's history. They weren't like the Marines and the Army from way back, So that is going to be a chance for them to really talk to some of the absolute pioneers like you guys were.
Well, they say there will never be organizations like that again.
Well, certainly fighting takes a different character these days.
One of my nephews, one of my sister's sons, taught at the academy for a while. Well, they were very, seemed to me the government was very good to him. He was, I think he only made major as long as he was in the service. But they had sent him to, well, he graduated from the University of Colorado, and he was an ROTC student there. And then they sent him somewhere for master's and PhD. He got a PhD at Stanford.
Excellent.
Well, he was in service.
I seem to recall at some point you and Marilyn had thought about maybe coming to, maybe it was our Washington, D.C. reunion with a nephew, her nephew, or your nephew. But that didn't pan out. It may have been about the time she had her surgery and resulting problem.
Well, what we were, the trip that we hoped for was to the Czech Republic.
Oh, yes.
We wanted to get in. What was that? That would have been?
That was 05.
Yeah, 60 years. Yeah. And
that was a good trip.
And neither of us. She was having that knee problem, and I was pretty old and battered. And the thing that I had. The thing that's kept me at home a lot of times is that I know that I would be such a burden on people around me, taking care of me. And in fact, I get more care than I need. They offer more care.
So how old are you now?
92.
Yeah, we're just with Al McMahon, and he's turned 93, I think, in about a month.
Or 94. He might be 93 now. I think his birthday is the 1st of September.
You guys still doing all right.
Yeah, I think that's going to be it.
I'll be 92 in November.
So good.
It's delicious.
But Al's doing pretty well. You know, he uses a cane, and when he goes out walking in the neighborhood, he uses a walker. But
he tries to walk the cul-de-sac and around the loop and down to the other cul-de-sac and back. But he said he doesn't have an opportunity to do it every day. But
now, where is this?
It's outside of Atlanta in Lawrenceville, Georgia. He had lived with his sister in Norcross. Al's wife died decades ago, and hers wasn't a death, but she had divorced when her children were young, and so when Al finished being transferred all around and moved back to the Atlanta area, he lived there with his sister, and she died last November, quite suddenly, and her son and daughter-in-law and her grandson, who'd always called Al Grandpa, have him living with them now in Lawrenceville.
He has a real nice room and set up there, so He wrote a nice history of his family.
The big man line. He never had children.
We didn't either.
Yeah.
It is a sad. I will be 93 in November. Nobody in our family is going to pay any attention to that because my big sister will be 100 in August.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, is that right?
So she's still with you, no?
Great. She lives in Midtown, Ohio.
My goodness.
Taught school there for years.
How's she doing at 100?
Well, she seems to be doing real well. She, I haven't seen her for quite a while. But we talked to her fairly frequently. Maybe monthly or something like that. And then,
I didn't realize you still had a sister. It's amazing. She's quite long lived.
Three others are deceased. Mm-hmm. Including, well, and I've still got two half sisters.
Right.
And a half brother. They're in Florida.
So their name would be McChesney too, I guess, since it was your father who got remarried.
No, Susan would be my older. She was a McChesney. She has become widowed within the last 6 weeks, I guess.
Her husband is a booth all right? Would you rather have a table?
About all right,
we'll go down here tonight's table.
About 25 years older than she was.
Well.
And he died recently.
Seen a lot of the country on this trip. A big, beautiful country. Whether you're in the southeast, out west, I'm sure going through the Midwest again will remind us its features too, though it seems to me it always gets pretty boring coming through the breadbasket of the country. When we had left Utah, we went down through Utah on U.S. roads, not interstates, got into Texas, angled down toward Abilene. So we missed all the breadbasket on the way at the beginning of the trip. We have ample wheat fields on our way back, I guess.
Yeah, we'll hit some boring part of the drive here for too long.
That's all right.
That's okay. It's nice to be headed home. We've been gone about 5 weeks. So hopefully everything's still there.
There's a lady who works in my doctor's office. And she's here from time to time. And every year, or maybe only every other year, she likes to go to Utah.
Oh, okay.
And look at the rocks.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful formations.
Yeah, they call it the Red Rocks, and the Red Rock Country, and the greatest snow on earth. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, we live in Park City, and it's a big ski resort. So we get, the town has less than 10,000, but it has like 25,000 hotel rooms. So in the wintertime, We get quite a few visitors who are skiing in one of the three ski resorts there in town. And there's actually four or five more within an hour drive from where we are. So you can visit up to 10 resorts with only having to drive an hour and a half from there. So it's a big ski resort. Lots of restaurants because of that, because, you know, they give us a lot of two-for-one deals this time of year.
When the tourists are not
in the tourists aren't around. But it's kind of nice being a small town, but they have lots of restaurants and lots of other cultural type of things that you wouldn't normally find in a town that small.
I had never known much about Utah. I was dating a girl several years back. Family in Salt Lake City. I was visiting her in Denver at the time. And so we drove to Salt Lake City. And very impressive.
Yes, it is, with all the big temple and all that there downtown. Of course, they're worldwide headquarters for the Mormons, so they really keep that up nice down there. They always put lots of nice flowers in the springtime and summer and fall. So it's always have lots of young Mormon women there to greet you, speak all the different kind of languages, and sisters, I guess they call them. And they'll be happy to tell you all about it.
But they're polite if you wave them off, you know. They don't.
And of course, they got the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, which we enjoy seeing.
It's a wonderful, wonderfully musical area.
I have a nephew, the son of my sister who lived in Colorado Springs, taught journalism at the University of Utah. He died of cancer at a
way too young, right?
Yeah, he was probably 50 or something.
Ouch.
Yeah, I go down to the University of Utah and take classes. Utah has a nice deal where if you're 62 and a half, you can take classes at the state-supported colleges and universities for $25. And that's if you take one class, you can take three or four classes, it's still $25.
They do limit it to a certain percentage of students in any class, I think 10%.
10%, but you know.
Because they need that tuition coming in at a higher rate from everybody else.
Yeah. But you know, you don't get credit for it, but you get to learn. And it's a really nice.
I have to go find the restroom.
Round to the right.
Okay.
But it's a really good deal. So I've been taking classes down there just to keep the brain going, and I take skiing lessons during the ski season. So even though I'm a pretty good skier, you always get better. So I take ski lessons every year, probably about 5 days worth, and I even took a class on how to be a ski instructor. But I don't want to do that to earn money. I want to be able to teach my grandkids and nieces and nephews and people like that the right way. So it's been a lot of fun, because I didn't learn how to ski till I was 58. Now I'm getting my grandkids to teaching them how to ski. My youngest grandkids turned 3 years old April 4th. So we had them out to visit, and we had a big birthday party for her. But they wouldn't let her ski the day before. And they had to wait till she was three before they would let her be in a class. So we had her in class on her birthday early as she could. And her older sister's 6 years old, and so she's been now, I think, 3 times. And so she thinks it's fun. So I do that, so I hopefully they'll want to come out and visit more often.
Well, did y'all where were you located when you were before you retired?
Well, in the Los Angeles area, we were with the FBI, and so we were in Knoxville, Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Chicago, Illinois, Washington, D.C., at headquarters, and then we went out to Los Angeles, and so I retired from the FBI. I was in the Los Angeles office, and I went to work as head of security for a couple of internet companies because I have a computer background. I used to teach computers at Old Dominion University. So I got a nice job there in Silicon Valley, and that's how I got enough money to live in Park City. So I did pretty well there. And so when we were getting close to wanting to retire, really retire, then we started looking around where we wanted to go. And I didn't want to come back east. I grew up in Atlanta, but back east I tended to get a lot of sinus problems. And out west, I was dry and I didn't have as many sinus problems. So we looked around and we wanted a small town near a big town with a good airport, good medical, but not so many people, not so many cars. So we looked around and Park City seemed to fit the bill pretty well. So that's where we ended up buying. And we've been pretty happy there. We've been there close to 9 years. First couple of years, several years, I was still working, so I'd have to fly to California, usually on Sunday night, and then if they let me work from home, I could fly back Thursday night, but sometimes not. But we had locations all over the world, so I've been to Tokyo and to Sydney, Australia, and several places in Canada, and London, Paris, Frankfurt, Munich, and then I used to give speeches on security, on internet security. So I go around and do that too. So I've given speeches lots of places.
Now, where did Barbara grow up?
She grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. And so we met and married at Auburn University. So we've been married 45 years, she actually went into the FBI before I did. They needed women, and she's a CPA, so she went in before I did.
I recruited him, though. I knew he'd make an excellent agent.
And then I end up going in, and
you captured him.
Yeah,
that's what the that's what FBI people do.
That's right.
So it's worked out pretty good.
Well, I noticed that you all are through eating.
Well, yeah, we're about done.
I am too.
All right. Well, I guess maybe we ought to move on.
Well, we got to get a check.
I've already taken care of that.